السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام
عبد
عليكم
الرحمن
شيخ.
كيف حالك؟
الحمد لله يا شيخ.
أبدأ الدرس.
نعم يا شيخ.
الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه
خيره.
ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له، إن فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. In continuation of our book Al-Adab al-Mufrad by Imam al-Bukhari رحمه الله محمد بن إسماعيل أبو الله، we were in باب الحياء, the chapter about الحياء, and we have repeatedly mentioned that الحياء, even though the English speaking people would interpret حياء to refer to modesty, I think a better thing is to understand the concept in the language with which it has come. In the language of the region Arabic, al-haya'u is khulqun yamna'u al-shakhs min al-fi'l al-qabih bisabab al-iman. Al-haya'u in our religion Islam, with its original language with which it has come. Haya'u refers to a character trait, that behavior, that mindset, that character trait, it will prevent the individual min al-fi'l al-qabih. It will prevent him from obscene behavior because of haya'u that he has. He or she will not be able to behave improperly, and that is because of iman, lisababil iman. So the individual in every circumstance will think that it is not proper for me to speak like this if I would properly be a person of iman. This kind of speech or this kind of action or behavior does not befit the people of iman, so it holds you back from any indecent speech, from any indecent character or behavior or action. That thing that holds you back, it prevents you from being indecent or from being obscene. This is the same thing that prevents you from committing sins, because from the worst of indecencies is an indecency that the individual falls into, disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or disobeying the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. When a person disobeys Allah, it is because he has little haya'u, that thing that will pull him back and say, it is not appropriate from iman for me to act like this or talk like this. Iman does not allow me to talk like this. If I would be upon iman, I should not talk like this. I should not behave like this. That thing that will hold him back is called al-haya'u. When he lacks that thing completely, or he has just a little of it, so you see him say anything, you see him talk anyhow, you see him unleash his tongues against the people just as he wills, and then you see that he behaves as he wills, he can commit a sin, he can do just anything. Why? Because he lacks, or he has only a very little part of that thing that holds the person back from bad behavior, from bad speech. And that thing that holds us back is called al-hayal. We have read a number of hadiths. And the last hadith we read was the hadith of Uthman ibn Affan, radiallahu anhu, and Aisha, radiallahu anha. The both of them reported the hadith, and just one single student reported from the both of them. That was Sa'id ibn al-As, who was a young boy when Prophet passed away. He was about 10 years old. So Sa'id ibn al-As said that both Uthman ibn Affan and Aisha radiallahu anha, the both of them narrated the incidents to him, both Uthman and Aisha narrated the incidents that Istazana Abu Bakr al-Siddiq. Abu Bakr al-Siddiq asked for permission Allah Rasulullah to come to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. But at that time, the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam, he was resting. وَهُوَ مُضْطَجِرٌ عَلَى فِرَاشِ عَيْشَ لَا بِسَنِّرْفُ عَيْشَ. The Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam, at that time, he was laying, he was reclining on the bed of Aisha, covered up the mirti Aisha in the covering cloth, or in the bed sheet, or in the duvet of Aisha, radiallahu anha. فَأَدِنَ لِأَبِي بَكْرٍ وَهُوَ كَذَلِكَ. The Prophet was in that condition when he allowed Abu Bakr Siddiq, radiallahu anhu, to come in. فَقَضَى إِلَيْهِ حَاجَتَهُ ثُمَّ انْصَرَفَ. The Prophet fulfilled the conditions, the need that Abu Bakr came to fulfill, and then he allowed him. Abu Bakr al-Siddiq went away. ثُمَّ اسْتَأَذَنَ Umar. Subsequently, Umar asked for permission to come in. فَأَذِنَ لَهُ وَهُوَ كَذَلِكَ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam allowed Umar to come in. وَهُوَ كَذَلِكَ. While he, the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, كَانَ مُضْطَجِعًا عَلَى فِرَاشِ عَيْشَ لَابِسًا نِرْطُ عَيْشَ. While the Prophet was lying down alayhi salatu wasalam on the bed of Aisha and covered up in the covering cloth of Aisha. فَأَذِنَ لَهُ كَذَلِكَ فَقَضَى إِلَيْهِ حَاجَّهُ ثُمَّ انْصَرَفَ. Omar came in, the Prophet fulfilled his need, and then he left, radiallahu anhu. Uthman then came in, qala Uthman, ثُمَّ اسْتَعَذَنْتُ عَلَيْهِ. Then I asked for permission, just like Abu Bakr al-Siddiq did, just like Omar did. I asked for permission too. فَجَلَسَ وَقَالَ لِأَعِيشَ. The Prophet sat up, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and said to Aisha, ijma'i ilayki thiyabaki, please ijma'i ilayki thiyabaki, make your clothes, cover yourself properly, get your clothes to cover yourself properly, O Aisha. Aisha said, radiallahu anha, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam allowed Uthman to come in, and then he fulfilled his need. Uthman then went away, radiallahu anha. Aisha radiallahu anha asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لم أرك فزعت لأبي بكر وعمر radiallahu anhuma كما فزعت لعثمان. I did not find you getting ready for a visitor to come in. Abu Bakr al-Siddiq came in, فما رأيتك فزعت. I did not see you getting ready. Likewise, I did not notice the same thing when Umar came in. But you did that with respect to Uthman. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, that inna Uthmana rajulun hayyun. Uthman is a man who has a lot of haya, hayin is kasirul haya. So when a person is kasirul haya, we say he is hayin. Man is hayin. The Prophet said so, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when Uthman came in, the Prophet sat up. He told Aisha to dress properly before that all parts of your body are properly clothed. And then Uthman came in. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, wa inni khashitu in adhintu lahu wa ana ala tilka al-had. I feared that in adhintu lahu, if I allowed him to come in, wa ana ala tilka al-had, while I was in that condition, lying down, covered up in your cloth, Allah yablugha ila yaqi hajatihi. I fear that la yablugha ila yaqi hajatihi. I fear that Uthman ibn Affan would not be expressing. He will not be able to express himself properly to me regarding his need. He will come in. He will be shy. He will because of haya, and then he will go. Radiyallahu anhum. This means that from the biggest virtues of Uthman was haya'u. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam praised him for it. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam respected the haya'u of Uthman. It showed that amongst the companions, they all have huge virtues, but some of them may have some virtues bigger and more than others. This hadith showed that the haya'u of Uthman ibn Affan was probably bigger than that of Umar and that of Abu Bakr al-Siddiq radiyallahu anhum ajma'in. So this is showing that haya'u is so important. Now in all of these, like we have repeatedly said, there is no matter of, is it haram? No, it is not about haram. It is about noble, eminent character. It is not a, is it haram? Is it not now haram? Is it now haram? No. It's about noble character. The reason I'm mentioning this is that many of us today, we have reduced our religion to just about haram, as if all that's in the religion is halal and haram. No. Inside halal, there is noble character. Inside halal, halal has darajat, it has levels. That's why Al-Jannah has levels. And that's why the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam was described with the best of characters. He says, wa innaka la'ala khulqin azim, on the highest of the pedestals of akhlaq was the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. So it's not about, is it haram? Is it halal? This morning I observed Salatul Fajr in a masjid. The young boy who led the Salah, he read Quran very well. He was wearing a polo. He was wearing an Adidas short, two-thirds. And after the Salah, he gave a talk in the masjid. That's nice. Good character. Good investment. Oh, this look is not the look that is typical of people of knowledge and the students of knowledge. Why have I said this? Because we are not talking about halal and haram. We are just talking about noble character. So if this kind of a thing is mentioned in the masjid, you see many of us start saying, is it now haram? Is it now that Allah will not accept? No, it's about honor. It's about self-esteem. It's about self-respect. It's about giving the due to what deserves a due. It is about showing concern genuinely and putting yourself in a place of honor and respect. Ikhwa, both male and female, we are almost forgetting this part of our religion. Our religion is not just about halal and haram. It also takes into recognition noble, eminent character of respect and decency. Let us look at Surah Al-Furqan. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described Ibadur Rahman, What was the first thing he said about them? It says, wa ibadur rahman. First thing he spoke about them. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, Allavina yamshuna alal ardi awna. They are those who, when they walk on the surface of the earth, they walk awna. They walk with ease. They walk humbly. Somebody can come and say, is it now haram for me to walk his? No, it's not haram. But from the ways of the people of the servitude to Ar-Rahman is that even in their walking on the surface of the earth, they are calm. Hauna, they are sedate. They are calm, easy, cool in the way they walk. In our own times, even women walk, men, nobody cares. They start asking, is it haram for me to do this? Is it haram? This description of Ibadur Rahman, who walk hauna, you will see that it is not a way that will now show that there are people who will behave as they like. They have conduct. That conduct is superlative, is expressive of their submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and respect for him, respect for his religion, or respect for the rest of the Muslims. I hope that this point is clear, bismillah, that these matters are not just issues of whether something is halal or haram. They are about noble character, self-recognition, self-respect, self-esteem, and respect for and esteem for what you are doing. So from the aspects of respecting the masjid, respecting the position of the imam, respecting salat, respecting the fact that in salat you will be standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that makes you dress and appear in a manner that is full of respect and esteem, not in a manner of two-thirds, not in a manner of polo, not wearing a cap, just come like that, stay in the masjid, start leading the salah, or even start observing the salah. When Allah told us in the Quran that khuzu zinatakum inda kulli masjidin, when you come to the masjid, dress properly. This is the pure meaning of this verse. Khuzu zinatakum. Ya Bani Adam, khuzu zinatakum inda kulli. Anywhere you go to the masjid, dress properly. Nobody, even a president of the world, one of the countries of the world, the president will wear a polo and a jeans. You know, it's been criticized for it. Many of the countries, their ambassadors and diplomatic experts criticize his look. So this is not the look of a person who is serious. We all know the next American president will be sworn in now. You will not see Trump in a polo and t-shirt and jeans. They will say that is not proper. So why then will you come with polo and jeans to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Because polo and jeans in our own times, they are not dresses equal of eminence and respect upon their religion. Polo, jeans, no cap, two thirds. Please let us leave these kinds of dressings away from the masjid. Dress properly, wear a cap, be respectful, be calm. He sees it, like we said, don't ask me, is it now haram? Is it that our salat is not? We are not talking about that. We are talking about noble character of esteem, self-respect, and self-honor and appreciation of the position you are or what you are coming to do in the masjid. Allah will be before you when you start salat. So Hayao deserves that. He dressed properly, and that was why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was telling Aisha radiallahu anha in the hadith we just read. The Prophet said alayhi salatu wasalam, ijma'i ilayki thiyabati, take your clothes to yourself properly. This shows that from the ways of haya is that we dress properly. Haya will make you look proper. Haya will make you look decent. Haya will not make you live with hair like the hairs of musicians. Ayahu will not make you put earrings on your head, O young man and young woman. Ayahu will not make you wear jeans to the masjid with polo. Ayahu will not make you be able to do that. May Allah forgive each and every one of us. The next hadith under this chapter heading is hadith 601. Where Al-Imam al-Bukhari said, Rahimahullah, حدثنا إبراهيم بن موسى ولا حدثنا عبد الرزاق عن معمر عن ثابت البناني عن أنس بن مالك عن النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم قال ما كان الحياء في شيء إلا زانه الله ما كان الحياء في شيء إلا زانه ولا كان الفحش في شيء إلا شانه ما كان الحياء في شيء إلا زانه ولا كان الفحش في شيء إلا شانه. الإمام البخاري رحمه الله report this hadith from his Shaykh Ibrahim ibn Musa رحمه الله أبو إسحاق الرازي. Ibrahim ibn Musa was a very respected amongst the scholars of Islam. Those of us who are familiar to the scholars of Hadith, some of the scholars equate him and even give preference to him than Al-Imam Abu Bakr ibn Abi Shayba, as more knowledgeable, as vast in knowledge of the Sunnah that Ibn Abi Shayba was. Ibrahim ibn Musa is Shaykh of Al-Bukhari in this Hadith. Some of the scholars used to give preference to Ibrahim ibn Musa over Al-Imam Abu Bakr ibn Abi Shayba. And that was why Al-Imam al-Dhahabi rahimahullah calls him Ahadu A'immati al-A'lam. Al-Dhahabi said regarding Ibrahim ibn Musa, Ahadu A'immati al-A'lam, one of the scholars of authority in our religion, one of the people of leadership and authority in the religion was Ibrahim ibn Musa. You will understand that more when Al-Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, Imam Ahli Sunnati wal Jama'ah, said, Kana kabiran, kana aw kabirul kabirun fil ilmi wal jalala. He spoke about Ibrahim ibn Musa and said he is Abirun il ilm, vast in his knowledge, wal jalala, and honor and respect amongst the people. He is the Shaykh of Al-Imam al-Bukhari in this hadith. He said, Adathan Abdul Razak, his Shaykh here is another huge eminent person of knowledge amongst the scholars of Hadith. He is Al-Imam Abdul Razak ibn Hammam Sanani from the scholars of Yemen. We know he has a big Al-Musannaf. That book contains 30,000 hadiths. Rahimahullah. He is reporting from his Sheikh, well-known, Ma'amar ibn Rashid. This is not is having a imma. This is not has the scholars of Islam in it. Ibrahim ibn Musa reports from Abdul Razak. Razak is reporting from Ma'amar ibn Rashid al-Yamani. He is reporting from another from the scholars of Sunnah, Thabitun al-Bunani. Thabitun al-Bunani was from the students of Anas ibn Malik. And Anas loves him so much, radiallahu anhu. Anas would say, Thabitun Uwaybatun Uhibbuha. Anas ibn Malik, when he spoke about Thabitun al-Bunani, would say, Thabitun, this Thabit Uwayba is one small thing like this, one small thing. I like it so much. I like him so much. Ah, Thabit. So Anas radiallahu anhu used to like Thabit. Thabit was a diligent, brilliant student. Radiallahu anhu. Al-Imam al-Zahabi said, Kana rasan fil ilmi wal amal. Al-Imam Thabit al-Bunani, from the students of Anas ibn Malik. Al-Zahabi said, Kana rasan fil ilmi. He was from amongst the leading scholars. Wal amal. And in terms of good deeds, he was also in the forefront. Yalbasu thiyab al-faqira. Thabit al-Bunani. يلبس الثياب الفاخرة. He would dress very properly and judiciously. This is Thabit. From the Sunnah of the A'imma of the religion is that they dress properly. Brothers dress properly, especially when you come for Salat. Salat is so important. When you go for Salat, don't dress as you like. Dress properly when you come for Salat. When you come for Salah, I beg you, dress properly. Whether you are leading the Salah or you are led in the Salah, dress properly, especially because from the biggest of our worship to Allah itself, Allah will come before you in Salah. So why do you dress as you like? Your hairs are not combed. You are not wearing a cap. You are wearing a dirty polo. You are wearing a bad jeans. To third and all of these undergraduates, graduates, working class, all men and women, when you come for Salah, from the aspects of your haya towards Allah, regarding your worship of Him, is that you should dress properly. Thabit al-Bunani, rahimahullah, yalbasu thiyab al-faqira. He will dress in nice, gorgeous clothes. What you call, and the people used to say that innahu lam yakun fi waqtihi abadu minhu, as gorgeous, as nice, as neat as Thabit al-Bunani will dress. The scholar will say that lam yakun fi waqtihi abadu minhu, there was not anyone in his time who was more worshipful than Thabit al-Bunani. Look at him. He will dress well. He will be full of worship. At يقال أنه لم يكن في وقته عبد منه رحمه الله. Is the one reporting this hadith from Anas ibn Malik, Abu Hamza al-Ansari رضي الله عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم قال. It said that the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam said, Ma kana al-haya'u fi shay'in illa zan. Ma kana al-haya'u fi shay'in. Al-haya'u will not be part of something. You will not bring haya'u inside something. Illa zanahu, yani zayyanahu. Ma kana al-haya'u fi shay'in illa zanahu. If you bring haya'u to anything you are doing, haya'u will beautify that thing. Look at it. All of us, we build houses, we paint the house. You don't say no, you don't need to paint it. Why? Because painting it will beautify the house. So haya'u will beautify whatever you do. If you want to speak based on haya'u. So why will speaking with haya'u beautify the speech? Haya'u will remove the obscene and bad language in what you are going to say. So your speech will not be left with any other than the good part of it, the neat part of it. If you dress, haya'u will say, oh no, this one does not befit me. This one does not befit iman. This one does not befit salat. This one does not befit talabul ilm. You are a student of qira'atul Quran. You are reading the Quran. You sit down as you like. You lie down if you like. There's no proper sitting by way of showing respect and dignity for Quran. You sit as you like, you hold your leg, you raise your leg up, you just as you like, just as you like. But you can see that if there is haya'u there, haya'u will not make you behave like that. Haya'u will make you sit down properly. Ayah will make you read properly. Ayah will remove any bad thing from what you are doing, and it will leave what you are doing or what you are saying with the good part of it. So that was why the Prophet said, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Ma kana al-haya'u fi shay'in illa zanahu. Haya'u would not be in anything. You would not find haya'u in anything illa zanahu, except that haya'u would beautify that thing because it would have removed that bad part of it. Haya'u makes you keep away bad things from your speech and from your actions. It means you will only be left with the good ones. You will only be left with the brilliant ones. You will only be left with the praiseworthy ones. Why? Ayahu has made you to drop the bad ones. So what you are doing will not be any other than good and something full of beauty and praise. Ma kana al-haya'u fi shay'in illa zanahu. Haya'u has never been inside something, except that is the yinuhu. It will bring beauty to that thing. It will not make you find something to criticize, because that thing contains haya'u. Wala kana al-fuhshu fi shay'in illa shanahu. Al-fuhshu is mujawazatul haddil ma'rufi shar'an. If a person goes beyond push, indecency, let's just make it clear. When a person becomes indecent, he becomes obscene, he becomes vulgar, he becomes irregular and inappropriate in his speech or in his actions. This is كان الفحش في شيء ولا كان الفحش في شيء إلا شأنه. It will bring faults. It will spoil that thing. عيبه ما كان الفحش في شيء إلا شأنه. It will bring shame. It will bring aid to it. It will bring sin, to bring badness, because al-fuhshu is obscenity. Even if it were good, that obscene part of it will spoil it. Just like a red oil spoils a white, well-designed cloth. That is how al-fuhshu is inside something that is good. So yes, Imam of a masjid, Hafiz of Quran, you read Quran well, you teach Arabic, you do this. Make sure you beautify that thing you are doing with good haya'u. How? Remove anything that will bring you criticism, remove it from it, such as not dressing properly, such as making your salah long, and then those behind you begin to feel uncomfortable about it. Why? You want to use your salat as a means of muraja. Don't do that. The Prophet prohibited that, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Told us, if you want to make muraja, go and do that in your qiyamah. إِذَا صَلَّ أَحَدُكُمْ وَحْدَهُ فَلْيُقِمْ صَلَاتَهُ كَمَا شَاءَ. When any one of you observes his salah, let him lengthen his salah just as he wills. As you like, lengthen your salah. But when you pray with the people, فَلْيُخَفِّفْ. Make sure your salah is easy. So these are the adab. These are the manners. These are the lofty characters regarding some of these issues. For the sake of Allah, let us stick to them, because it will beautify what you are doing. The Prophet said, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Ma kana al-haya'u fi shay'in illa zanahu. Wala kana al-fuhshu fi shay'in illa shanahu. You want to advise somebody, you want to tell him something good that you take to, and then he should leave what is bad. If you put insult into that thing, if you put useless, obscene words, if you put negative words into that thing you are telling him, it will not make him want to even accept the good ones inside, oh brothers. For the sake of Allah, it means it's something we have to do deliberately. Getting in ayahu and moving away from Al-Fuqsh or Al-Fahisha, anything that is obscene, anything that is indecent. I know some brothers, they always have that praise. You will not find them in anything that is dirty. Once it is dirty, you will not be there. There's a young girl like that, very young girl. She was telling me a few days ago, when people fight, I will not be there. When people argue, I will not be there. If you talk about knowledge, ah, yes, I want to share the knowledge. But fight, quarrel, insult, no, leave me out. In fact, when they say, did you know what I said? No, I wasn't there, I left. This is a way of preserving her higher hope. She does not want to be a party to anything that is bad. Once people become indecent, something becomes sore, something becomes obscene, vulgar languages become exchanged. The same way Allah told us in the Quran, what is the marru, the lagwi, as we mentioned at the beginning regarding Ibadur Rahman. Allah said, when they walk on the surface of the earth, Ibadur Rahman, alladhina yamushuna, idha mash ala wabbil ardh. They walk sedately, they are calm. Yamshuna awna. Wa idha marru bil lagwi. When they pass nearby people being vulgar, people being indecent, marru kirama, they just walk away honorably. They walk away respectfully. They respect themselves. They walk away. But they don't want to get in obscenity and vulgarity. So the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ma kana al-haya'u fi shay'in illa zanahu. The next hadith I like us to look at today before we call it a day for questions is 602. In it, Al-Imam al-Bukhari said, rahimahullah, haddathana Ismailu qala haddathana Malikun an ibn Shihab an Salimin an Abihi anna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam marra bi rajulin ya'idhu aqahu fil haya. فقال دع فإن الحياء من الإيمان. الإمام البخاري reports this hadith from his Sheikh Ismail. That is الإمام إسماعيل ابن أبي أويس. إسماعيل ابن أبي أويس is the son of the sister of الإمام مالك. We said this reported repeatedly. الإمام مالك had a sister. Her own son is called Ismail. So from the teachers of Ismail ibn Abi Uwais, who was also from the scholars of Medina in his time, was Al-Imam Malik. So Ismail ibn Abi Uwais is reporting this hadith from his call, that is his maternal uncle Al-Imam Malik. So he said, haddathani Malikun. Malikun is reporting this hadith. Al-Imam Malik, we know him, Abu Abdullah al-Asbahi, rahimahullah, Imam Dar al-Hijra. He is reporting from Al-Imam al-Zuhri ibn Shihab, rahimahullah, Muhammad ibn Muslim, ibn Shihab ibn Zuhri. He is reporting from his Sheikh Salim. Salim was the son of Abdullah ibn Umar, radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam marra bi rajulin ya'idhu akhahu fil haya. The Prophet passed by a man, ya'idhu akhahu fil haya, who was talking to his brother about haya. The next hadith, just the hadith below that one, makes us understand that what was he telling his brother? يُعَاتِبُ أَخَاهُ فِي الْحَيَاءِ كَأَنَّهُ يَقُولُ أَضَرُّهُ. So let us quickly come to the second hadith, because the second one gives a fuller explanation of what happened in the first one. They are both under 602. So in the second hadith it says, حَدَّثَنَا عَبْدُ اللَّهِ قَالَ حَدَّثَنِي عَبْدُ الْعَزِيزِ إِبْنُ أَبِي سَلَمَةَ عَنِ إِبْنِ شِهَابٍ عَنْ سَالِمٍ. And Ibn Umar قال: مر النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم على رجل يعاتب أخاه في الحياء كأنه يقول: أضر بك. فقال صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم: دعه، فإن الحياء منه. In the second one, Al-Imam al-Bukhari reported from Abdullah ibn Salih al-Misri, Abu Salih. Abdullah ibn Salih al-Misri, Abu Salih, he was from the Shuyukh, Al-Imam Malik, Rahimahullah. He said, حدثني Abdul Aziz ibn Abi Salama, that's one huge imam from the scholars of fiqh and hadith. He used to be called Al-Majithun. His son too was commonly called Ibn al-Majithun. That's Abdullah ibn Abdul Aziz, Ibn Abdullah ibn al-Majithun. So they were both scholars. So his name is Abdul Aziz ibn Abi Salama. He used to be ascribed to his grandfather. Otherwise, his own name was Abdul Aziz ibn Abdullah ibn Abi Salama. So both Malik and Al-Imam al-Majishun, the both of them reported it from Ibn al-Shihab, who reported from Salim, who reported from Omar, from Ibn Omar, radiallahu anhu. That Marra al-Nabiyyu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I'm reading the second hadith. مر النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم على رجل يعاتب أخاه في الحياء. The Prophet passed by a man يعاتب أخاه في الحياء, who was blaming his brother في الحياء, regarding حياء, as if to say, why are you timid like this? People say now, many mothers now, when I talk to their daughters, who is full of fire, they start telling her, why are you timid? Why are you naive? Why are you naive? You start hearing naive, naive, naive. Regarding young girls who are so modest in their behavior, you start seeing people telling them, why are you naive? Why are you shy? Why are you, don't be shy. If they start, do this, if they do this, do that, if they do that, do that, hey, do that. Hey. We start trying to push these young girls, especially, away from the path of haya. Marra an-nabiy sallallahu alayhi wa alihi sallam ala rajulin yu'atibu akhahu fil haya. One day the Prophet passed by a man who was blaming his brother about haya. Fa'annahu yaqul, as if that second person was saying to his brother, adarra bika, it will be causing you harm. If you say you want to be modest, this modesty, it will not pay you the way people speak today. Why do you want to be modest? Why do you want to be swagger? Why do you want to know? Being modest, being full of fire, does not mean that the individual is not sensible. It's sensible, but he will not be rash. He will not be harsh. He will not be obscene. He will not be vulgar. You don't need to be vulgar to say no. You don't need to be vulgar to walk away. You don't need to be vulgar or obscene to correct somebody. If the matter requires correction immediately, it does not need vulgarity. But people think the way to teach their children to be strong emotionally, to be strong mentally, all of these that we say today, is to tell them, if they insult you, insult them back. If they look to you, look at them back. And all of these, those young, innocent girls begin to gradually be taught to do away with al-haya. A girl who, maybe when she's insulted, she'll just walk away. She becomes a girl that, when she's insulted with an expression, she'll pay back with 10 expressions. The parents have told her to behave like that. This is not proper in our religion. مر النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم على رجل يعاتب أخاه في الحياة. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم passed by a man who was blaming his brother about حياة, saying أضر بك. I think he was saying, this your حياة will not pay you. This your حياة will bring insults to you. it will bring harm to you. The Prophet went and said, "Da'ahu, leave him alone." فَإِنَّ الْحَيَاءَ مِنَ الْإِيمَانِ. Because that the person is full of haya, is not paying back insult with insult, is not paying back abuse with insult. He walks away, he goes away, he reports to constituted authority, he's not paying back indecency with indecency, does not get involved in indecency, does not pay indecency back with indecency, is not obscene, is not coarse, is not inappropriate in his speech. That a person does that, the Prophet said, فَإِنَّ الْحَيَاءَ مِنَ حَيَاءُ is part of iman. One major benefit I want us to note from Hadith 6 is that sometimes when a hadith are studied from more than one isnad, you get it clearer. If you look at the first one, that report from Malik, it only says, يَعِذُ أَخَاهُ فِي الْحَيَاءِ. A man was giving a sermon to his brother about haya, but in the second one, it made it clear. Now, what the man was even saying was something that should not be tolerated. That he was telling him not to show haya. He was telling him that haya'u will bring something bad to him. Like, haya'u will not pay you. Haya'u will cause you harm. Haya'u will cause you this. The Prophet said, da'ahu, leave him alone. فَإِنَّ الْحَيَاءَ مِنَ الْإِيمَانِ. Because al-haya'u is from the aspects of iman. In another hadith, the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, وَالْحَيَاءُ خَيْرٌ كُلُّهُ. Everything about haya'u, wallahi, is good. Everything about haya'u. Don't forget, al-haya'u is خُلُقٌ يَمْنَعُ الشَّخْصَ مِنَ الْفَيْلِ الْقَبِيحِ. Haya'u is a character that will prevent you from behaving indecently or speaking indecently. لِسَبَبِ الْإِيمَانِ, because of iman. Look at you, anything obscene, you will not be there. So if you keep away from everything obscene, you will see that your life will be full of goodness, and every negative, evil thing about I hope that these two reports are clear in the class today. Hadith 601 and Hadith 602. 602 has two reports, one of them explaining the other. In 601, the Prophet said, "Ma kana al-haya'u fi shay'in illa zanahu." You will not find al-haya'u in something, except that haya'u that you have brought into that thing, zanahu, yuzayyinuhu. Haya'u will beautify that thing you are doing. Wala kana al-fushu fi shay'in illa shanahu. And you will not see indecency and obscenity in something, except that yu'ayyibuhu. It will bring faults. Everybody will start thinking, but this, yes, your intention was good, but your language was bad. Yes, your idea is good, but please express it properly and respect your audience. Things like this. Why? Al-Fushu got involved. Oshanahu, it will bring sheen, to bring aib to that thing that you have introduced, Al-Fushu. Al-Fush is obscenity. The second hadith, Hadith 602, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed by somebody who was advising another person about haya'u. He was telling him that, كَأَنَّهُ يَقُولْ أَضَرَّ بِكَ. If you want to say you want to show haya'u in this Lagos, they will take you as a fool. So no shy for anybody, no grief for anybody. 2024, no grief. 2025, no. All these kinds of behavior, all these kinds of expressions, they are not due for people of iman who have al-haya'u. Let us do away with these kinds of negative attitudes, being coarse, thinking that we are being sensible and intelligent. Let us not behave like that. Unfortunately, these are the things that non-Muslims are propagating. And every day we are reading and interacting with non-Muslims. May Allah protect all of us and forgive all of us. Bismillah, in the class tomorrow, we'll come to the last hadith on Al-Haya'u. It's also a hadith of Uthman ibn Affan. I hope that we can discuss Uthman ibn Affan a bit longer, inshallah, in the class tomorrow. Mention some of his virtues connected to his Haya'u and some of the problems that the community of Muslims in the world face today was because people killed Uthman ibn Affan. That is how we will end this aspect in Al-Adab al-Mufrad, because from the next chapter, we'll be coming to the issues of Adhkar and Dua. From the next chapter in Al-Adab al-Mufrad, we'll be coming to issues of what? Ad-Dua'u and what? Al-Adhkar. The next things we'll be discussing in Al-Adab al-Mufrad from Hadith 604, they are issues of Dua and issues of Adhkar for almost about 100 Hadiths. We'll be talking about Dua, Adhkar, and all other things from the life of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and from the life of the companions radiallahu anhu. But for today, inshallah, it's about Al-Haya'u. But tomorrow it will also be about Al-Haya'u. And that hadith also has to do with Uthman ibn Affan. We'll come back to that tomorrow, inshallah. We have a few questions we can respond to. Let us try to look at them, inshallah. Abu Abdurrahman.
And the first question we have is, Assalamu alaikum sir, Jazakumullah khair. Young Muslim boys now claim the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam braided his hair, and they want to do the same. How do we explain to them what is not honorable and decent?
We have discussed this matter before now. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not braid his hair. They have long hairs compared to hers, hairs that flow up to mid back, hairs that flow up to the sides of their ears and gathered there, hairs that dropped up to the level of the shoulders. So sometimes the hairs become disturbance to them if they don't put and tie the hairs together. That's why Arabs have names. They have like Zulimma. Limma is when the hairs gather around the ears. The hairs gather around the ears, not touching the shoulder. When it touches the shoulder, they have a name, they call it. When the hair is below the shoulder, I'm talking about men now, not women. It's even more than that regarding women. Arabs have hairs that can touch their back up to the middle of their back as men. You will see that when they go forth and backwards, this thing will bring inconvenience to them. So sometimes they tie that hairs together so as to reduce the inconvenience of the hairs scattering, coming in front, coming to your back, coming in front of you, coming by your side. It is this necessity that makes them tie the hairs sometimes. In fact, many of the times he will cut the hairs. What was common with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was to keep his hairs around his neck, not reaching up to his shoulders. If you go to Ash-Shama'il al-Muhammadiyya by Al-Imam al-Tirmidhi, you see these are hadith about the length of the hairs of the Prophet. But if the hairs become grown up and it falls behind him at the back, not to be bothering him. Look at hairs that falls up to your back, and then you are making ruku'ah. How will the hair come? The hair will come in front, come in back, come to your scatter, all to your face. To remove this burden, sometimes the Arabs used to gather the hairs and tie the hairs together, maybe as one, or they tie them maybe as two, or as three, to avoid the hairs becoming a nuisance to them. So this means that this matter is ardia, is harder, something that the way their lifestyle is forced them to behave like that. It was not something deliberate. That's why you not find any scholar of Sunnah telling you that when you plait your hair, you are following Sunnah. No scholar will say that to you, that when you plait your hair, it is Sunnah. No, the circumstance forced them to become like that. Just like nobody will tell you that you have to tie wrapper. They used to tie wrapper in the time of the Prophet. They wore izar. Today, yes, they also wear trousers as we wear now. But I don't see any one of us wearing a wrapper in the name of wearing a sunnah cloth. Why? The reason we don't do that is that one of the things that made it like that, they find it easy to remove the cloth and cover themselves up with the cloth. Yes, they wore the kinds of dresses we wear now, looking like what we will call jalabia or kaftan with a trouser. They wore something like that. If you follow the description, you can see it like that. So I'm saying that leaving the hairs and tying the hairs together, putting it maybe as to three or to one or to two, they are not things they did. It was not things he did, alayhi salatu wasalam, because he now wants us to be plaiting our hairs as men. No, he did not do it like that. And most of these young boys who say things like this, they are just saying it to find convenience. They are just saying it to find convenience, because in the basic aspect of their life, you don't see them upon the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. For example, the Prophet always wear a cap on his head. He never went hasir or ras, not wearing a cap, alayhi salatu wasalam, or not wearing a turban, or not wearing a gutra, leaving his head gunduru like that on the street. He did not used to behave like that. And his clothes will always reach his wrists, alayhi salatu wasalam. His clothes, if the lower garment will be half of in between his ankle and his knees. He dressed like that. He was upon salat. He was upon istighfar. He was upon love for Allah. He was upon dua. Are you also upon all of these, or just take this one and say that it is sunnah? Is that one that looks like a sunnah to you to say that it's plaiting your hair? If it is like that, you are just looking for something to hang upon. Oh, young boys, don't plait your hair. Yeah, it is not sunnah. Don't plait your hairs, it is not sunnah. Give a low cut, be decent, be good looking. Don't wear earrings, it is not sunnah to wear earrings. Don't wear polo, it is not noble from esteemed character to wear polo, wear jeans. No, dress in nice kaftans. Don't even wear the kaftan the way some people wear it. Don't wear it the way, honorable, noble, eminent people wear the kaftans. Wear it like that. Be noble, be honorable, be full of esteem for yourself. Respect yourself. These are areas people who talk about self-love don't talk about. People talk about self-love to be the end of talking about you becoming selfish. No. These are issues of self-love. Respect yourself. Respect yourself. Dress properly. Look decent. Don't look like people of indecency. So you wear a chain on your neck. When you wear a chain on your neck, who do you look like? You look like musicians, or you look like the scholars of Sunnah? Who do you look like? All of these things matter in the society. So for the sake of Allah, we parents too, grow up your children. Parents, don't stop wearing these short clothes for your children, boys and girls. Don't grow up your children upon jeans and Gucci and all of these. Wear nice dress. So go to good tailors to sew good, nice clothes. Wear caps for your boys. Let the girls begin to wear jilbab from a very young age. Don't say they are still young, because by the time they become old, they choose for themselves. You can't choose for them again. Nurture your children upon goodness, oh parents. Don't let it be that when they come out of hand, they come out of control. You're not looking for Afa Sunnah to help you. But at the beginning, you don't want to follow the Sunnah. When don't be lax from the beginning. And then when the boys and the girls do what they want, you now begin to look for one scholar of Sunnah to help you out. But the scoffer, let us be decent. Let Hayahu, let the deen dictate what we do. Let's not be indecent. Let's not be obscene in our actions, in our speech, in our behavior, in our carriage, in our look, in our conduct daily. Keep it in mind. I am a person of Iman. I can't do this one. I can't talk like this. I can't write like this. I can't behave like this. I can't walk. Even walking. Allah talked about walking. Ibadur Rahman. I always say this. Allazina yamshuna alal ardi hauna. The servants of Ar-Rahman. They are those who, when they walk on the surface of the earth, they are calm. You talk about them. Gara, 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 gara. No seededness. May Allah protect each and every one of us. Forgive our shortcomings.
Amen. Another question. Ma'am, assalamu alaikum, Sheikh.
Alaikum assalam, Abu Abdurrahman.
Yeah. Another question is, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. May Allah continue to preserve you upon goodness, Sheikh. Please, is it part of haya for a lady to reject a leadership role, for example, being a principal of a school?
It depends. If it's a school, let's say a girl's school, do you understand? If it's a girl's school, you'll be useful there. And they think that, oh, you will be useful as a teacher, as a head teacher, to help coordinate the rest of the teachers, to help coordinate the activities of the students and all of these, then that's beneficial. To be beneficial for you, it will also be beneficial for the students in the school. Look at it properly. Discuss it with your husband, and then you take a decision, inshallah. Do you understand? If you are rejecting because it will make you get into some things you would not like to get into, that's something else. But make sure, as far as it is higher, there is no bad statement, bad speech, talking badly, you know, being obscene, being vulgar. Some people who lead people think that if they have not talked to people with vulgar language and obscene language, they cannot lead the people. You don't need to be vulgar to lead people. You don't need to be obscene to lead people. You don't need to be inappropriate. In fact, some of those who have written about the psychology of leadership, they say that one of the biggest assets of a leader is that he shows a lot of respect to the people that he leads. You respect them. Speak to them well. You are not insultive. You are not abusive. Even when you want to correct, your tongue, the tone can come strongly, yet you are not obscene and indecent. I think this thing requires a lot of wisdom and a lot of deliberateness. May Allah protect us all. Can we take one more question before we call it a day today, Abu Abdurrahman? Can we take one more question, Abu Abdurrahman? Yeah.
And this one reads, it says, may Allah increase you in goodness, sir. Please, how can we draw a line between being timid and being upon higher?
I don't know what you are saying in this question, but I have explained this matter repeatedly. Issues of timidity, I have explained it. Go back to the lecture, it will be clear to you, inshallah. It's like telling us to repeat the entirety of what we have said. We have differentiated between issues, these kinds of issues, in the class, in the last class and today. Let's not go back to that again. It's like telling us, come back, say all what you have said again. That is not proper. I think if you come, أبو عبد الرحمن أيو ده
نعم، ما هو يا شيخ؟
Are we calling the day today? Are we going to class tomorrow, inshallah? The time is already fast.
جزاكم الله خير بارك الله.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.